Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Mulana Muhammad Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in Mawlai salli wa sallim daiman abada Ala Habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. Now that the treaty was signed at Hudaybiyah, and one of the important clauses of the treaty was that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would not be allowed to perform Umrah that year, and they were already in the state of Ihram. So they needed to come out from the state of Ihram. In order to come out from the state of Ihram, they were required to slaughter, to sacrifice their animals, to shave their heads and come out of the state of Ihram. This is known as the law or the ruling of Ihsar, which appears in the books of Fiqh and applies up till today. If a person is already in the state of Ihram and for some reason he cannot go and he cannot continue with his journey, then he will arrange for an animal to be sacrificed in the Haram, and thereafter he will shave his head or cut or trim his hair and he will come out of the state of Ihram. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum now were required to do so. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed them to sacrifice their animals, to shave their heads and come out from the state of Ihram. However, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were so consumed by emotion at that time, understanding fully well, as we had discussed, the great level of desire that they had for Baytullah. And after so many years, they felt that now they were getting that opportunity. There was that hope of going to Baytullah, of performing Umrah. And because of this treaty that has been signed, now they were not allowed to go beyond and to go ahead. So the state or the level of the emotions were very high at that time. They were consumed by the emotions. They were very grieved. They were very affected. And now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells them to sacrifice their animals and come out from the state of Ihram. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum, being overtaken by their emotions, they did not respond immediately. For a second time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs them, and again they don't respond. And for the third time he instructs them and they don't respond. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was affected by this. He was upset by this. And he goes to his tent, to his respected wife, Sayyida Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, who was a very understanding and mature woman. There are many incidents in her life that explain this, the maturity and the understanding of Sayyida Ummu Salama radiallahu anha. She was known as a faqiha, one, a woman who had great understanding of deen. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to her, he was upset, he was angry, and he says, halaka al-muslimun, that the Muslims are going to be destroyed. I am commanding them three times, but they are not responding. They are looking at me, and they are listening to what I am saying, but they are not responding. Sayyida Ummu Salama radiallahu anha understood that this response of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum was not a response of defiance. They were not defying the commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She fully understood that these were those same Sahaba that a few days ago they took bay'ah at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give their life. These Sahaba radiallahu anhum were those who a few days ago Urwa bin Mas'ud had seen them, and the manner in which they respected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he went back to the Quraysh to tell the Quraysh that I have gone to different kings, but I never saw any king being honored and respected and revered in the manner in which the Sahaba radiallahu anhum of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam respect him and honor him. So she understood that these were those Sahaba. These were not those that will defy. Rather, it was only because of the situation that they were in, because of them being consumed by their emotions, and because of them being so affected, that frame of mind at that time, hence they were not responding immediately to this instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then she also understood that when these Sahaba are doing anything, they will immediately comply and follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So she says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that O Nabi of Allah, if you really want them to comply, you want them to follow you, then without saying a single word, you go out, go to your animal, go to your camel, slaughter your camel, call the barber and ask the barber to shave your head. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam follows this suggestion of Sayyidah Ummu Salama radiallahu anha. He goes out of his tent, he goes to his camel, he begins to slaughter his camel, reciting Bismillahi Allahu Akbar aloud. When Sahaba radiallahu anhum saw this, immediately the Sahaba radiallahu anhum responded, and they quickly and hurriedly went to their camels and their animals, and they began to sacrifice. And when they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's head being shaven, then immediately they shaved their heads as well. This was the great suggestion that Sayyidah Ummu Salama radiallahu anha had given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam at this time. And she had relieved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam of this worry that had come over him. Therefore, ulama have written that one of the greatest suggestions that were given by a woman in history, in the history of Islam, or the history of humankind, one of the greatest suggestions that were given by any woman was the suggestion that Sayyidah Ummu Salama radiallahu anha had given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on this occasion. On this occasion, 70 camels were slaughtered, and Sahaba radiallahu anhum came out from the state of ihram. Among those camels that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had brought, one camel was the camel of Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl was killed in Badr, and his camel came as booty in the share of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This camel had a silver ring, a silver nose ring, which was very unique. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam brought this camel of Abu Jahl to sacrifice it on this occasion with the intention of infuriating the kuffar of Makkah. That when they see that our leader's camel is being slaughtered by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it will make them very upset, it will work them up, and it will remind them of their great leader, their notorious and infamous leader. But for them he was a very great person, Abu Jahl, and how he was killed, humiliatedly killed on the battlefield of Badr, and now his camel is being sacrificed by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought this camel to be sacrificed, because this camel was used to the surroundings of Makkah Mukarramah. One day the camel escaped, and it ran away to Makkah Mukarramah. It went right to the house of Abu Jahl. The disbelievers of Makkah Mukarramah, they kept this camel behind. And the foolish ones among them, they said, we're not going to return this camel to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Suhail bin Amr, who was involved in the negotiations, and he understood the importance of now playing their cards well, and of them upkeeping and maintaining this treaty that they had signed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He instructs them to return this camel to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Alternatively, if they were not prepared to give back this camel, he told them that you must give 100 camels in exchange of this one camel. And they were prepared to do that. So they present this offer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We will keep this camel behind and we will give you 100 camels in exchange. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, if this camel was already not marked for being sacrificed in the haram, because the camels were already marked, those that will be sacrificed in the haram, there was a certain way in which they would mark the camels by making a slit on the hump of the camel, and the blood would come out, a small slit would be made, and in this way they would mark the camels of sacrifice. So this camel has already been marked to be sacrificed in the haram of Makkah Mukarramah. Therefore, I cannot accept this offer of yours to take these 100 camels in lieu and in exchange of this one camel. So they give back this camel of Abu Jahl, and this camel was also slaughtered and sacrificed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam shaves off his mubarak hair, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, many of them shave off their hair, and some of them trim their hair. So shaving is called halaq, and trimming is called qasr. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam makes dua, rahimallahu al-muhalliqeen. May Allah have mercy on those that made halaq, those that shaved off their hair. And on the second occasion again he makes dua, rahimallahu al-muhalliqeen. May Allah have mercy on those that shave off their hair. And a third occasion also he says, رَحِمَ muhalliqin. On each of these occasions, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum say, وَالْمُقَسِّرِينَ. O Nabi of Allah, make dua for mercy for those that trim their hair as well. But for three times, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua only for those who make halaq, those that shave. And thereafter, on the fourth occasion, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for those that make qasr and trim their hair. This explains to us the importance of halaq. Even today, up till today, when we go for umrah and hajj, they need then to make halaq and to shave off the hair. This is the original sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there is more fadila, there is more virtue, and there's three du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for mercy for such people. Although it is permissible to merely trim the hair, to make qasr, however, there's greater virtue in making halaq. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all in all, lived and remained in Hudaybiyah for 19 days, and now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum begin their return journey to Madinah Munawwara. When they reached Usfan, which was not very far away, their provisions had been depleted. Whatever provisions they brought, food, items, all was depleted. And now the Sahaba radiallahu anhum come to complain to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of hunger. And they suggest that we have riding camels. So if some of us sacrifice our riding camels, we will have enough meat, enough provisions for us to eat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was initially considering this. However, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, as we explained, his position was the position of an advisor to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he had the liberty to give suggestions to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, O Nabi of Allah, don't allow them to slaughter these camels. Because if after a few days we have to encounter our enemy, or we have to encounter any enemy, then we will be hungry and we will be walking also because we won't have camels. So the camels should not be sacrificed. We require these riding animals. Rather, my suggestion is that you ask the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to bring whatever little food they have which remains by them. And all of it should be gathered together, and thereafter you make dua for barakah. You make dua for blessings. And inshallah, through the dua that you will make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place barakah in that food. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam again accepts the suggestion of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an. He asks that the dastarkhans, the tablecloth should be spread out, and whatever provision sahaba have, all of that should be brought. One sahaba generally brought one handful of grain or food that they had. And this was the amount that they, most of them had that amount, and they brought all of it. And they gather it in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One sahabi says that I estimated the entire amount, and it did not even equal the amount of the meat of one goat. It didn't equal, meaning a few kilos, barely a few kilos, 20 kilos, 25 kilos maximum, this food was. And he goes on to say that we were 1,400 in the army. We were 1,400 in the group, and there was not even food equal to one goat. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stands up and he makes dua for barakah. And thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to partake of the meals, and every Sahabi ate to his full. 1,400 Sahaba radiallahu anhum ate to their full, and thereafter they even filled their containers. After they filled their containers, he says that they still remain that amount that was there in the beginning. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled and he says, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anni rasulullah." I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I bear witness that I am the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he goes on to say that if any person meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these shahadatain, with these two phrases, that bearing witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah, and bearing witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, any person who meets Allah with these two phrases, then this person will be saved from the fire of Jahannam. As they are returning to Madinah Munawwara, at the place called Qura'ul Ghamim, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now calls the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They were the signs of wahi first that had appeared on the Mubarak countenance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The weight of wahi came down. And thereafter, when the burden of wahi or the effects of wahi were removed, or the effects of wahi went away, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he says to them, "Unzilat alayya al-laylata suratun lahiya ahabbu ilayya mimma talat alayhi shams." That such a surah has been revealed on me last night, which is more beloved to me than the whole world, than everything upon which the sun has risen. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recites to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum the surah, "Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina." Let us understand, Sahaba are returning. They were returning with a heavy heart that we were not allowed to make Umrah. We were stopped by our enemy. Who is being stopped? It is the Rasul of Allah that is being stopped from Baytullah. And being stopped by who? By Aduwullah, by the enemy of Allah. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum were returning with a very heavy heart. Although they accepted this decision of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but indeed it was a very difficult situation for them. They were returning with this heavy heart. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down this wahi, "Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina," that, "O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have given you a very clear victory. We have given you a very clear victory." Although some considered this ayah or understood this ayah to mean that we will give you a victory, that it was still going to come. However, Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, the narration appears in Sahih Bukhari of one of the Sahaba, where he says that you feel that this victory was referring to something else. This victory was actually the victory of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Allah is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this treaty that you have signed is actually a great victory for you. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came down to congratulate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the revelation of this surah. Because thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains great virtues of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam congratulated Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the revelation of this surah. Imam Zuhri rahimahullah would mention that there was no victory in Islam that was greater than the victory of Hudaybiyah. The victory of Hudaybiyah was the greatest victory in Islam. And he says the reason was that because of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, it opened the doors of so many people entering into the fold of Islam. While there was war going on, then there was not this mass conversion to Islam. But when Rasulullah ﷺ signed this Treaty of Hudaybiyah, so many people accepted Islam. Ibn Hisham rahimahullah says that the proof of this is that in the sixth year after Hijrah was Hudaybiyah, 1,400 Sahaba radiallahu anhu came with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 2 years later, on the occasion of Fathu Makkah, of the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, the number of Sahaba was 10,000. From 1,400 to 10,000 in a space of just 2 years. So this was a very great victory for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are many ayat in the surah, important ayat. Just one or two of these ayat we will discuss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions one of the wisdoms why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to sign this treaty of Hudaybiyah and not go and attack Makkah Mukarramah. وَلَوْلَا رِجَالٌ مُؤْمِنُونَ وَنِسَاءٌ مُؤْمِنَاتٌ لَمْ تَعْلَمُوهُمْ أَن تَطَؤُوهُمْ فَتُصِيبَكُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَعَرَّةٌ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. That there were many people in Makkah Mukarramah who had accepted Islam, who had brought Iman secretly in Makkah Mukarramah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba were unaware of these people. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum attacked Makkah Mukarramah, then it was possible that these people who were believers secretly, they will also be attacked and they will lose their lives. And later on, when you realize that they were people of Iman, you will feel very, very bad and very remorseful that you killed people of Iman. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow you to attack Makkah Mukarramah. One other great ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning great virtues of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, wa alzamahum kalimata taqwa wa kanu ahqqa biha wa ahlaha. Allah says that Allah established the kalima of tawheed, the kalima of shahadat. Allah established it and made it firm in the hearts of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, wa kanu ahqqa biha wa ahlaha. And Allah says that Sahaba were more worthy they were worthy recipients of these of the kalima of tawheed. And then the very, very great ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that the dream that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, that dream is definitely going to come true. لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْحَقِّ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely allow that dream of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come true. لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ مُحَلِّقِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ وَمُقَصِّرِينَ. That definitely you will soon be entering Masjid al-Haram. Definitely you will soon enter Masjid al-Haram. Muhalliqeen aminin. With a lot of peace and safety and security. Muhalliqeen ru'usakum wa muqassirin. Making halaq, shaving your hair and trimming your hair. This was, then Allah says, fa'alima ma lam ta'lamu. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew what you don't know. Allah knew that there were great wisdoms behind this treaty of Hudaybiyah. You were not aware of it. Your desire was to go to Baytullah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill that desire of yours. Together with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed so much of khair and goodness to come out. And then, وَجَعَلَ مِن دُونِ ذَٰلِكَ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. And before you go to Makkah Mukarramah, there's a near victory that is going to come. And that was the fatah which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received against the Yahud in Khaybar very shortly after the incident of Hudaybiyah. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Umar radiallahu anhu questioned him, when Umar radiallahu anhu was very consumed by his emotions and he questioned Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then one of the questions he posed, that O Nabi of Allah, didn't you tell us that you saw this dream? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, I told you that I saw this dream, but the dream did not say when we will be going to Makkah Mukarramah. So he did not mean that we are definitely going this year. Yes, we will go. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in this ayat, that this dream of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will definitely come true. Very quickly, just to list a few wisdoms that ulama have mentioned that came out from this entire treaty of Hudaybiyah and this incident of Hudaybiyah. The first is that the Quraysh lost a lot of support from the other tribes. As we had explained, Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi from Taif, he went back. Then there was that person that was in charge of all the tribes around Makkah Mukarramah, that who had a lot of respect for the haram, a lot of respect for the sacrificial animals. And when he tried to convince the Quraysh that these people have come to perform Umrah and you should not stop such people, and they did not listen to him, then he also took those tribes and he went away. So they lost a lot of support because of them stopping Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from going to Baytullah. People understood that now it was a different issue altogether. They have come only with the intention of going to Baytullah, without the intention of fighting. Yet they, because of their arrogance and because of their stubbornness and because of their pride, they are not allowing them to go to Baytullah. Therefore, they lost a lot of support. Secondly, the Quraysh were overawed when they saw the loyalty which Sahaba radiallahu anhu showed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One was Urwa bin Mas'ud and his observations. And thereafter, how the Sahaba radiallahu anhu rushed to take bay'ah at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even if it meant them losing their life, but they were prepared to give their life for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this also frightened them greatly when they saw the way in which Sahaba radiallahu anhum responded to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then furthermore, this opened the doors for interaction between the Muslims of Madinah Munawwara and the disbelievers of Makkah Mukarramah. As long as there was war going on, there was hostility. And when there's hostility, then it does not allow you to see the good in the other person. When you have enmity for a person, you won't see his good. So when, as long as there was war going on, they were not looking at the good of Islam. It didn't give them that opportunity to look at Islam with an open mind. Now there was a peace treaty in place. There was movement, free movement. And many of them came to Madinah Munawwara. Abu Sufyan, it's famous, he came to visit his daughter, Ummu Habiba radiallahu anha, the respected wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Madinah Munawwara. Because they could come to Madinah Munawwara, they began to see the beauty of Islam. Now it gave them time to look at Islam objectively with an open mind and see the beauty of Islam. And therefore, so many of them had accepted Islam. Great people, great people who are arch enemies of Islam, Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anh, Amr bin As radiallahu anh, and many other people all accepted Islam during this period between the Treaty of Hudaybiyah and the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. And this thereafter led to the great victory of Islam and the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. Furthermore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam now, because the roads were safe, there was no fear of them being attacked. There were many delegations that now could freely come to Medina Munawwara, and many people came from other tribes, came as delegations to Medina Munawwara, accepted Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now had the time to send his envoys to the different kings. Letters were sent to the different kings, to the king of Abyssinia, to the king of Egypt, to the king of Persia, to the Roman emperor, the Persian emperor. These letters of da'wah was given. And there were some of these people that thereafter looked at Islam favorably or even accepted and entered into the fold of Islam. So all this good came out because of this Treaty of Hudaybiyah which was signed. Therefore, many a times, the lesson we take is many a times there may be something that may happen in our life. It may not happen as we envisage it to happen or as we desire it to happen. But it does not mean that there isn't any good. Rather, there's a lot of good in the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may not understand it. At that time, Sahaba radiallahu anhum did not understand it. Later on, when this ayat came down, inna fatahna laka fatham mubina, Sahaba radiallahu anhum had sharh sadr. They had, their hearts were very, very satisfied that this is a great victory from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, after time, they also saw it, that the great amount of wisdom and benefits that came out from this Treaty of Hudaybiyah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the Sahaba radiallahu anhum for all the great sacrifices that they made for this ummah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.